Praise God. I just want to take a few minutes just in close, just to give you just kind of a final word for this evening. Something that has really just kind of been on my heart all day. The Heavenly Father comforts the fatherless. I just felt like, you know, even just as Greg was just saying, you know, a little earlier, sometimes, you know, it just feels like maybe Father's Day just feels a bit somber, feels a bit more of a reminder of not having a father active in your life, or maybe the disappointments that you may have faced through the years with your father, or maybe even fathers that might be even in here that don't have a great relationship with their children. But I want to encourage you before you leave and before you go offline that there is comfort with the Heavenly Father. And now the Heavenly Father, there is no father like him. The Heavenly Father offers you and I unconditional love, which means it's not based on the conditions of our relationship with him. No, he loved us first before we loved him. He has loved us so much that he's given us his only begotten son, Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, he came down on the earth and he lived amongst us. He became flesh like us. And it was all the doing of the Father, the Heavenly Father. And Jesus was obedient unto his Father. The way the Father has loved us, Jesus Christ also loves us. And Jesus has told us in the Word of God that he and the Father are one. It was for one reason, that you and I would be saved. And that you and I would know that the Father loves us. And the kingdom of God, the kingdom, the Father's kingdom is not like our lives here. It's not like this world. The kingdom of God is perfect. The Father is holy. He's righteous. And he desires that you and I, who are flawed, who are sinners, we have rebelled against God. We have turned away. We've chosen to do evil. We've chosen to live our lives the way we want to live. We've attempted to satisfy our needs according to what the world tells us, according to just the material things that we can grab hold of. And we have rejected his love. And yet, while we were yet sinners, Christ Jesus came and died for us. What that's for me, it's realizing more and more as I read scripture, as I think about the love of the Heavenly Father and his desire to comfort us, is to know that you and I, really, we don't deserve any of his goodness. We don't deserve any of his kindness. We don't deserve any of his love, but yet he loves us unconditionally. And he desires that we would know comfort through salvation in Jesus Christ. And that's, for me, that's an amazing deal. It's an amazing deal, and you can't pass that up. You can't pass up the comfort that only you can truly find in Jesus Christ. You know, I was just reading scripture, and just the story that's just been on my heart this week, is actually a story in the Old Testament about two brothers. Interesting enough, as we were singing about that song about brotherly relationship, but in the book of Genesis, there was actually two brothers. They were twin brothers, and they were at odds from day one. And scripture tells us about these two brothers. Their name was Esau and Jacob. Maybe you've heard of them, but they were twins. And it's really an interesting story, because even when they came out of their mother's womb, when the oldest came out first, his name was Esau. And the Bible tells us that the younger brother was holding on to his heel, you know, as he was coming out, like, you're not getting ahead of me. You know, I got this. You know, I mean, they were competing right through birth, you know. And Esau, scripture tells us that Esau, when he came out, he was just red. That's all the Bible tells us, just red and a lot of hair. Like a lot of hair. I'm not sure if you post pictures of baby Esau right away. You gotta let time pass on before, you know, you post the baby pictures of Esau. You know. And then Jacob came out holding on to Esau's heel. When Jacob was born, and then scripture tells us, the Bible tells us in Genesis that, you know, and they're growing up, that Esau was this outdoors type guy, and Jacob loved to, he enjoyed just staying inside. And Esau was, scripture describes him almost as a wild man, undisciplined, you know, but a skilled hunter. Scripture tells us he's a skilled hunter. Whereas Jacob, his younger brother, just liked to stay in the house, and he was pretty plain, but wise. And real, you know, as we like to say, he's just real chill, you know, and I don't really want to go anywhere. I just, you know, it's just, he was an indoor guy, and he just stayed in and just and hung out with mama, you know. And scripture tells us that mama loved Jacob, you know, but daddy loved Esau. And you know how that goes, you know, sometimes, you know, we all, you know, we try not to say that we don't have favorites, but it happens. And you know, there's Jacob and Esau, and scripture tells us that the father, you know, really enjoyed Esau's, his food. Scripture calls it his game, which means he was a skilled hunter, which means he'd hunt, and then he'd catch something, and he'd cook it. But one day Esau comes in from hunting, and I don't really know whether he caught anything that day. Because when he comes home, scripture tells us that he's exhausted, he's famished, which means maybe out through the desert, through the forest or whatever, just completely dehydrated, and he's wiped out. And he looks, and when he comes into the house, Jacob has just cooked some stew. And it's Jacob just sitting down, just stirring like a pot of stew. And the scripture says it was a red stew. You know, and I'd like to think that because it was red, it was more attracted to the redhead Esau, you know. And the Bible tells us that Esau comes in the house, he's exhausted, and he goes, Jacob, please, bro, can I have some stew? Can I have that red stew? And then Jacob goes, I mean, without even hesitating, without even thinking about it, I mean, he didn't even say, bro, you didn't catch anything? Where's your own food? Where's your quail? Where's your venison? Where's all that? You know, no, he just immediately, Jacob goes, give me your birthright. Give me your birthright. Now, for those that don't know, the birthright really it represented the inheritance that you received from your father. It represented just really a spiritual blessing. It represents a covenant blessing. And so, in this moment, we recognize here that Jacob knew something was special about the birthright, about the promise, about the covenant blessing. But Esau, in this moment of exhaustion, in this moment of being famished, just kind of blurts out like, man, I'm about to die, all right? Now, you know that's an exaggeration, all right? So we've all been to that place where we just kind of exaggerate the way we feel. You ever come into the house and be like, I'm starving, I'm about to die. Like, my kids do that now. You know, they just come in, like my daughter, my oldest girl, she comes in off the bus. I mean, she comes storming in. Can we have dinner early? I'm starving. I'm about to die. And she's like extremely emotional about it. And I just look at her, I just pause. Hold on. Stop. You're not about to die. You're getting caught up emotionally. You're exhausted. You've had a long day at school. I know, lunch was horrific. Cafeteria lunch was horrific. Yes, it was. I just didn't even eat anything. Right. But you definitely had breakfast this morning. So I'm pretty sure that nourishment will sustain you till dinner. You're not going to die. And so she still carries on, you know, and I have to console her and I have to be patient, you know. And sometimes in the moment of complete exhaustion, in the moment of our emotions, we let anxiety and fear get ahead of us and we create a conclusion that really is not about to happen. I'm about to get somewhere. Hold on. Man, I'm about to die. What do I have to do with this birthright? I mean, I'm not even going to get it no time soon. And in this moment, Esau is thinking about the now rather than the big picture. And he really represents many today who just want a quick temporary fix rather than the promise that God has for us through Jesus Christ, everlasting life. But we just want a quick fix because right now I'm exhausted. Right now I thought that everything that I could do as a skilled hunter, everything that I could do in my own strength, right now it's failed today and I just want to be satisfied right now. And that's how the world thinks. And for those that might be in here just saying, look, I came in here, I'm hoping that I can just figure this out tonight. And you're watching online, I'm hoping I can just figure this out. I need to just fix my situation. My life is just a mess. Let me tell you something. It's not about a quick fix. It is about the promise that you have in the Heavenly Father who desires to comfort you and give you life through his son, Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. Life in Jesus doesn't mean that everything is just going to be sweet and dandy through your life here in New York City. Oh, no. This is a concrete jungle. I ain't going to front. Sometimes I think, man, life would be so much sweeter to a brother back in Virginia. But I'm not concerned about the now because I have an inheritance in Jesus Christ. It's everlasting life. It's salvation in Jesus. But some of us, we'd rather run out and get a quick fix in the club. Or quick fix this Friday because I've worked hard. You know what? Let me just go out and just drink and just drink and just drink and just... You look for a quick fix with your girlfriend, your boyfriend, unhealthy relationships. And it's, friends, it's like a pot of stew. And so he says, right now, I'm just in the now. I can't think about the whole inheritance, the whole spiritual blessing right now. Okay, I'm just trying to make it right now today. Okay, I just need to get through right now. And Jacob goes, swear by it. He's stirring a pot of stew. Swear by it, bro. I mean, this is what happens, you see. We look at a pot of soup that will only soothe for the moment, rather than salvation in Jesus Christ that will bring you eternal life. And so he swears by it, whether they shook hands or wrote something on paper, but he swore by it. He gives over his birthright to Jacob in that moment. And then scripture tells us that Jacob gives him the stew and then gives him a piece of bread that will satisfy just for the day. And Jesus Christ says, I am the bread of life. If you partake of Jesus Christ, you will never hunger again. If you're in here right now and you're running around on these streets and you're running around on your job and you're pursuing this and you're pursuing that, you feel like in my own strength, in my own skill, I'm a hunter. I can get this. I'm from New York City. I'm from Brooklyn, man. Boogie down, Bronx. I got this. I'm on my hustle. I'm on my grind. Let me tell you, it's like a piece of bread. And once you eat it, you're going to be running around looking for another piece of bread. And some of you are running around just looking for your next pot of stew, just to get you through the next day. And you're willing to bargain with your blessing. Don't bargain with your blessing. I know some of you in here probably are exhausted and tired, and you've been going, you're worn out, and you're tired of what maybe you're gonna get or experience or hear bad news on Monday. And you're ready to just kind of just whatever, you have almost like a whatever attitude. Man, whatever, man, I'll just try this. Or whatever, I'll go this way or whatever. And it's like a pot of stew. And you're willing just to try that. And you're willing to bargain with the world in order to get some satisfaction. Don't bargain with the world. They'll rob you. And listen, don't bargain with God. Just take the deal of eternal life. Scripture says that he sits down, he has the bread, he has the stew. And the Bible tells us that when he gets up and leaves, at that moment, he despises his birthright. Which means he becomes bitter. You see, temporal satisfaction only leaves you bitter for tomorrow. Until you can get another quick fix, and you're still bitter. Lucas shared tonight about bitterness. About attempting to just go do what he wanted to do, live the life he wanted to live. Dennis talked about living the life he wanted to live, just saying, I'm on my grind, I'm on my hustle, I'm gonna do what I gotta do. And each day, you try to just get something just to keep you going through the next day, and the next day, you're still empty. But hello, his mercy is new every morning. His mercy is new every morning, and God so desires that you would not be left with a bitter heart tonight, not be left with a heart that feels like there's no hope, but the Heavenly Father desires to comfort you. So don't bargain with your blessing. Well, what is the blessing? The blessing is Jesus Christ. It's a new covenant for you and I. It's a new promise. It's Jesus Christ who went to the cross and died for my sins. Died for me because of my rebellion, because of every moment that I've taken just to have a pot of stew just to get me along, because I've rejected my birthright. I've rejected my promise. But guess what? The deal has been signed off by the Heavenly Father who desires to comfort you through the death and resurrection of his son, Jesus Christ. It's a new deal. It's a new covenant. The blessing is Jesus Christ who died on the cross for your sins. The blessing is his grace and his mercy to keep you and sustain you. Man, I have no plans of getting stuck in a bad bargain ever again. I'm taking the deal that God has given me. Jesus Christ. Life in Jesus. Would you stand up with me? Maybe there's some people in here tonight. I know there is. You're exhausted. If you've made some bad bargains. No more bargaining with the world. You've attempted to make quick fixes of certain things that are going on in your life, and it fails every time. There's only one sure thing, and that's Jesus Christ. And I want to invite you down here to the front to give your life to Jesus Christ. To take hold of the promise that he has for you. The blessing is Jesus Christ, a Savior who wants to comfort you, bring healing to your heart. He offers forgiveness of sin. He'll forgive you of every wrong decision that you've made. Every time you've been willing to just do something that is against the will of God, every time you've done that thing or whatever action that is, you know what that is. You know what you've done wrong. Well, he desires to forgive you. And as we sing, even as I'm talking now, I want to invite you to come up and give your life to Jesus Christ. He desires to forgive you of your sin. Believers, if you brought a friend tonight, you come down with them and you make your way down and you get right with God. You get right with God. If you're in the balcony right now, maybe you got plans just to leave and just to go, get out of here as soon as you can. But if you don't have a right relationship with Jesus Christ, you need to come down here and give your life to Jesus. Make your way down. Maybe you felt fatherless tonight. You've heard these testimonies and you've heard tonight about the comfort that you have in Jesus Christ. The Heavenly Father comforts the fatherless. You come down while we sing. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm getting ready to pray with those that are here up front. But I'm going to ask too, as we always do, for every Christian, every believer in here to begin to pray. There may be still some here that might just be embarrassed by their circumstances or just feeling like, I just don't want to come down. It's just, I've been sort of in this place of trying to get things right for so long that I'm not convinced yet. Not convinced yet that God can bring healing in my life. It's not something that you can figure out just in your own strength or in your own mind. You've got to believe in faith that Jesus can heal your heart. You've got to believe in faith that true comfort comes from Jesus Christ, the Lord and Savior. You've got to believe in faith that he went to the cross and died for you and that he can make you a new person. You got to believe in faith that the Heavenly Father desires that you would know him as Father, that you would be adopted into the kingdom of God, that you would have an identity in Christ Jesus. It's not something you can just figure out by just kind of thinking it through and just trying to answer all your questions in your head. And you just got to come to a place you just believe in faith and just receive Jesus. And if that's you, would you take a step of faith and come down? Thank you. I see you, brother. And again, believers, if you have someone that you brought, walk them down. No one should walk out of here tonight feeling comfortless, you know. Pray this prayer with me, Abby. Heavenly Father, comfort me. Take my life. I surrender to you. I believe you, Jesus, to be my Savior. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. Make me a new person. Change me from the inside out. Make me whole completely. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for giving me your Son, Jesus, to be my Savior. In your name I pray.